I'm in channel. This is excellent. This is Ghostly Talking. I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And I'm Bonnie.
Notice the cast is just slightly different today. I did notice that when I breezed in here. I was supposed to be here half an hour ago, and it didn't work out. So I had to astral project in. Just now. but I did make it here. I did make it to the haunted Warren Winery in beautiful and bitter cold Warren, Michigan, and to do the show. This show is done every single Sunday night, pretty much. There are one or two here and there that we don't do, like Super Bowl Sunday we didn't do this year. But pretty much every Sunday night from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Ghostly Talk takes... A lot of talk.
just a lot of
talk back and forth. But also we take guests on and we talk to them too. So we have a lot of talking going on Ghostly Talk. This week's really exciting. I can't even tell you. I was so excited about it when I heard that it was being done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the second half of the show, the first half of the show was phenomenal. The first part of the show with the first guest. But then the second, you know, we do it in shifts, right? The second half is going to be Marcus and Mark. That's Marcus Leader and Mark Macy.
Which should cause brain meltdowns.
Which, of course, I brought my Valium, and I'm ready. I am ready for that. And so I should be good to go. You know, I'll take, like, one about 5 minutes before, and then one about... half an hour later, and, you know, just keep up the regimen.
I'm going to take one every 10 minutes.
Oh, that's a good plan. That's a good plan. Because Marcus Leader, of course, is of Leader Research. Mm-hmm. And he builds things. He builds awesome things. He built us the BC set, the Beryllium Crystal Subtle Energy Transducer. He built the scrying mirror, the black scrying mirror, portal to other dimensions and all. He posted up some pictures that received some interesting comments in the forums. Have you been reading the forums, Bonnie?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been busy lately. I'm sorry.
It prompted me to write.
You?
I wrote.
The guy that never writes anything?
I had some creative writing go on just, boom, because of the new pictures that he had posted up. Mark Macy, of course, is of World ITC.
Right.
And the reason we're putting that on the air later, having them to meet each other publicly on the air, is because both of them fascinate us so much. And we think that they could complement each other with what they're doing. You know, Mark could say, good job. No, not that kind of compliment. Compliment the other kind, you know, like complementary angles to a complete solution.
Right.
Anyway, so that's coming up. So stay tuned for that. But the first part is equally as exciting.
I agree.
Because there's this website out there that Scott L. had found. Scott L., by the way, is sick in bed. So everybody, concentrate all your healing energies toward the haunted Warren Winery. Is that what a healing energy looks like? Ooh, whoa, what a healing energy.
A South Park episode where Cartman thinks he's a psychic because he comes out of a coma or something.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He battles the psychic detectives.
Oh, really?
Interesting. I was just sending him healing energy and love. I'm sorry, that's not what it looked like.
It didn't look like that, but that's okay. The intention was there, and that's what counts.
Correct.
Scott L. calls me up and says, you've got to go to this website. You have to go to this website. It totally, totally rocks. It's one of the best things he's seen in a long time. And I'm like, ghostlytalk.com, right? No. It's myparaspace.com, right?
Correct.
So we have the webmaster and owner or whatever. I don't know. We'll find out from him. We have Steve Compeer on from myparaspace.com. I'll read the little bio. Oh, but in a minute, because I want to thank everybody first. I want to thank everybody on Pioneer Radio, because Pioneer Radio is the home of Ghostly Talk. It's where we have been broadcasting now for years, right? So thank everybody at Pioneer Radio at pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O.net. We're also broadcast on Omnisound Radio 1. Which, of course, is just a huge, incredible, complex mishmash of internet and airwave-based radio stations. It's just incredible, and it's an honor to be at OmniSound Radio 1. We're also broadcast on Radio New York International. We're broadcast on KWTF The Edge, KJO 97.3, Home of the Hits, Riff Raff Radio, rawr, and The Point. Well, there's a lot of R's there. It's onomatopoeia, isn't it?
I'm sorry, Doug. Could you do that one more time?
I think onomatopoeia might be the vowel sounds. So what is when you do
onomatopoeia, but yeah.
Alliteration?
Yeah, alliteration. Okay, so that's alliteration. Riff Raff Radio. But I love those guys. The Point, 99.1 FM, The Butt Broadcasting Group, and ADD Underground. ADD Underground broadcasts us as well. Thank you to all of those fine stations and more. If you're broadcasting Ghostly Talk, by all means, dash us off an email to ghostlytalk@ghostlytalk.com. Now, to get on with the good stuff. Although that was good, too, but this is really good. MyParaSpace.com. Steve Compeer has been involved with paranormal investigations for over 10 years. He has appeared on the Travel Channel's Most Haunted in America, Discovery Channel's Would You Believe It? In 2005, Steve created and launched MyParaSpace.com. MyParaSpace.com is a paranormal networking service where friends help friends do everything from finding ghost hunters in their area or just share a love for the paranormal. Who wrote this?
I don't know.
We need more verbs. The shooting for... what? Why is that a... I think we'll just have to bring Steve on and ask what this is about. Was he in New Mexico?
I don't know.
Well, let's ask him. Steve, are you on the line?
I am on the line and ready, guys.
Well, thank you for appearing on Ghostly Talk.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
What does this second half of the bio mean? Were you doing something in Lincoln, New Mexico that we should know about?
Yeah, my main thing is a paranormal investigator, and I shot a TV show called Dead Famous Ghostly Encounters down in Lincoln, New Mexico just last month, and will air this spring on the Biography Channel.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you're involved in all kinds of stuff. That's awesome.
Tell me about... absolutely.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, tell me...
The MyParaSpace is just kind of an offshoot.
An offshoot that provides a home for that many people? That's absolutely amazing. What in your head went up with MyParaSpace? Why did you want to...
Well, here's how it happened. On my main site, ghostinvestigations.com, my staff members were talking in the forums about their MySpace profiles. And I'm such a boob, I didn't know anything about what MySpace is all about. So I started checking it out, and I came to the idea that, you know, that's very popular for people that just want to meet each other. But I took the next step and had one of those little cartoon light bulbs go off above my head. And I thought, well, why don't I try to do something that's the same idea, but strictly have it for people who like the paranormal so they can get together and have a place where they can just all, you know, network and discuss, you know, various topics. So I did a domain search and found, obviously, MyParaSpace is a play on MySpace. I found that their domain was available, so, of course, I registered it, and I set the website up and got the software and... the rest is history, so to speak.
And how have, because you know, you, I'm sure you see the logs and everything, how has it been doing? I imagine, from what I hear, because I talk to a lot of people, right? A lot of people are really into MyParaSpace. Mm-hmm. So what is it from the webmaster point of view? How has it blossomed? Is it growing steadily, or has it kaboomed?
Kind of a little both. We went online at the end of December. I think it was right around New Year's Eve, actually. And we're up to over 500 users now. It's been 6-7 weeks. And I really don't want it to just take off like MySpace because of the resources involved, but it's growing at a steady pace. Great people are on there. I found you guys. You guys found us through there. So it's all good.
And what kind of stuff can folks do? I know it's a social networking site. Tell me about social networking. Why is it important, and why has it become suddenly so incredibly important?
Boy, that's really kind of a question that I don't know if I'm qualified to answer because I'm not that smart. But I think that there's a need to have a central location for like-minded individuals to get together and share ideas, meet up, so to speak. It's all virtual, granted, but this can lead to meeting up in real life. As an example, your New Mexico field reporter, Desert Moon, his name's Brandon. Through that site, I was able to find out, since he lived here in Albuquerque with me, we met in person, and now he's one of my investigators on ghost investigations, and we're going to start doing stuff here in New Mexico. So there was a benefit just for myself having this site, hooking up with someone here. I just moved to Mexico a few months ago, so I was new to the area. So it's working out really well. So I think that's a good example of how well this type of website can work. Is that you see people that are minded in what they want to do and in their interests, now they have to network amongst themselves and find other people in their area and then put up and do things for them to do.
What's interesting is I did hear most of the response, but you are digitizing, so it is coming out digitally remixed, so that it sounds like we're playing a CD backwards. But I did understand most of your answer, and that's actually pretty cool, because as you do investigations, you know, Brandon he can email us and get on Ghostly Talk at any time. So whenever you find, because he's a field reporter, so he can get on Ghostly Talk at any time, and he can say, whoa, did we have a great investigation, or look at the history of this place, we investigated it, and this and that, and the other thing happened. So he can present information to all the listeners of Ghostly Talk at any time. So that's a pretty interesting hookup you had there on my Paraspace. I really like that.
Well, that's a classic example of how well that kind of website can work for individuals. He's a native of this area, and I'm not, obviously, so having someone on the inside like that, plus the inside that goes to talk, is going to be a great relationship. I'm looking forward to moving forward on getting out to these locations and seeing what's out here.
I'm not good at social networking. I'm very bad, actually, at social networking, because I don't do things like, I don't answer my phone usually, I don't...
let me list them. It's so
I don't
fun.
Do email. I am just really, really bad at this kind of thing. But I wonder, as people use your site, do you notice that people are... really connecting, or is it more like they find folks and then they connect elsewhere through like email or some other kind of like online chat or something like that? Do they connect and use the tools of My Paraspace to further their virtual friendship, or do they take it offline then?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. In all honesty, I've set the site up because I'm not very good at social networking myself, so I can kind of understand where you're coming from. I've actually turned the site over to two of my main staff people to administer, so I just pop in every now and then to make sure technically things are working well. But from what I've been able to see and understand is that people do use some of the tools there on the website, but mainly it's a place where they can make the initial contact, kind of do some background check to see if the people are, you know, somewhat normal, even though we kind of like the idea of people being paranormal versus normal. And then they can use whatever tools at their disposal to further their communication, whether it be instant messaging, email, or, you know, even phone, whatever the case may be. But it's a good first place to go to get these people hooked up, so to speak.
What really jazzes you about having a place like MyParaspace.com on the Internet? What really gets you excited about it?
I think it's just the idea of having one central location that we can all go to, and we don't have to weed through all these different profiles. I'm going to use MySpace as an example. You may or may not find someone that's interested in paranormal on that site, but that's not his main focus. His main focus is just to get people together, where our main focus is to get people together that actually like the paranormal, whether it be ghost hunting, searching for Bigfoot, cryptozoology, whatever the case may be. It's a place where they all have a common thread, and they can also feel like they're not going to be ridiculed, because some sites, you know, may not necessarily, you know, believe in what their beliefs are, and they may feel a little intimidated. But, you know, it's kind of a home away from home for people who, you know, love the paranormal.
And, you know, MySpace.com itself was indeed sold to News Corp for hundreds of millions of dollars, from what I understand. And so that, to me, says that social networking is either important, or some experts say that it's going to be important. So I think that what you've done is you've said, okay, well, we're going to take social networking, but we're going to just automatically say, all right, paranormal folks. So that you
right.
have a good chance of saying, okay, well, folks who are interested in the paranormal, whether it's their hobby or their job or their passion, or they've just heard of it and think it's cool, they can all go to this one place and just have a blast looking at all these looking at all the other folks that are interested in the same thing. What kind of tools? I know that, for example, on MySpace, and I don't know, I know very little about MySpace. I don't have a profile, actually, on MySpace or my Paraspace. But I'm wondering what kind. I know that on MySpace they do this thing where you can do bans. It's like their only other category. They have just all the people, and then they have all people who are bans.
MySpace Music.
Ah, good, thank you. MySpace Music. But that seems to be their only other category. Is that their only other big category is music and
mm-hmm.
regular people? So, and they have different tools for the different folks. What kinds of tools have you put into MyParaspace.com that folks can use to find each other, chat back and forth, vote for each other, and build their network of friends?
Well, I want to make clear that we have kind of the same idea as MySpace, but they've got a lot of money and a lot of programmers behind their site, so they can really invest a lot of time and resources into adding all these special little features and tools. I'm just one person. There's no way I have that kind of resource. But having said that, the software does allow people to join groups. They can even create their own group around their own interests and have other members join. I set up a separate set of forums so that people are more familiar with that type of software, and they can share ideas and post photos, discussions, whatever the case may be. They can also invite their friends right from the website. It's very similar, but I'm going to say that it's nowhere near the scale that MySpace is. And by the way, I didn't know that they sold it for that much money. I want to be publicly known that my Paraspace is for sale for $100 million.
I'll call Rupert. but no. That's awesome. Well, I think, I think I'm going to have to get into it now.
Oh, please. I will fall over dead if you get involved in something social.
Well, that's true. I would shock a lot of people, Steve. Do you have a profile on My Paraspace, Steve?
Yeah, it's actually, oddly enough, it's under Steve.
Oh, there you go. Is Doug available? That's absolutely amazing. And you're busy too. I mean, I understand why you can't be, 100%, 12 to 16 hours a day coding on My Paraspace, because you just finished the movie, working on Dead Famous Billy the Kid, last month. Right, and you've been out and about. Like every time I talk to Scott L. about you, you're always somewhere else doing something else. So you've been a busy person. You've been bringing all this programming to the Discovery Channel and Travel Channel and things like that, working on Dead Famous. this is amazing. What's it like, first of all, to be running around with all those folks with cameras? That's got to be difficult.
Well, just to understand, the Discovery Channel and the Travel Channel was done years ago. They replay the shows often. They just recan them and they show them all the time. The Travel Channel show airs all the time. It's probably the episode a lot of people remember. It's Most Haunted in America. And the first little segment on that show talks about this little doll named Robert that kind of was possessed by some soul, and it kind of creepy little doll. The second segment is on the Whaley House, and that was one that I did years ago. Now, recent memory, obviously, is the Dead Famous shoot. And the cool thing about that is I didn't really understand what the show was all about because I didn't get the Biography Channel until recently when I moved out here. I started watching the show and became a huge fan of it. When they contacted me to go down there to do something in Lincoln, I was overly excited because I'm also kind of an amateur historian, and I love the Old West. And I think any good paranormal investigator has to also be a historical researcher or historian at some degree just to enhance what they're researching. So they just told me to show up at a certain time and date down in Lincoln and meet the producer at the old Lincoln County Courthouse. And this is the building that Billy the Kid escaped from, and he shot two deputies in the process. So knowing that I was going to be down there, I wanted to do some research to see if there had ever been a paranormal investigation conducted at that location. And I looked and searched, and I could find no evidence of it. So I was doubly excited to possibly maybe be the first person to ever do this at this location. So I get down there, and I show up in at the allotted time and meet the producer, and they wire me up. Are you guys actually familiar with the show? Have you actually seen it on the Biography Channel?
I've not seen Dead Famous, no. Nope.
Okay. There's two people. The premise of the show is there's a skeptic, her name's Gail Porter, and then there's a sensitive, his name's Chris Fleming. And their whole premise of the show is that they try to find the spirits of dead famous celebrities. Obviously, Billy the Kid is somewhat of a celebrity for various reasons. So the town of Lincoln, New Mexico, actually is just about a quarter mile long, and it's a state monument now. All the buildings are preserved, and there's no fast food, no gas stations. It's just like it was in the 1880s. And it's a pretty amazing place to visit. So the courthouse is the place where he shot these two deputies. And outside the courthouse where the deputies actually fell dead, they have markers on the ground. And they say where Deputy Bell fell here, and then Bob Olander fell here. So I got there, and the stars of the show were upstairs. It's just a two-story building, and they were upstairs doing their solo walk-arounds where they I don't know exactly what they do during that period. So they came down, and they started with me, and the initial thing was an interview by Gail Porter asking me about Lincoln and why I think that particular place would be haunted. And then we proceeded upstairs, and I've never been there before, so I was actually really excited to see the place where Billy the Kid did all these murders. In fact, at the bottom of the stairs, there's a bullet hole in the wall that's from him, and they have plastic over it, so it's preserved so people can actually see the bullet hole that is the result of him shooting Deputy Bell. I met Chris Fleming upstairs, who's the sensitive, and my main function was, since I was somewhat of a historian on the event that took place at that location, he'd already gone through and done what he calls place memories, and these are just kind of like impressions of past events at this location or any location. And the interesting thing is the wooden floors at the courthouse are all the original ones, so he was excited about the fact that he says that the place members are stronger because all the original materials are there, these events happened. So we proceeded to, it was all dark. They let lights out, as they call it. A lot of the shows you see nowadays, Most Haunted and what have you, they all do it in the dark. Mm-hmm. And it's actually deceiving because it looks like these bright cameras are shining in your eyes. Well, it's actually dark and there's just the infrared, so you really don't see any light at all. We went to the top of the stairs, and that's right where Billy shot the deputy. And the way it happened was Billy had really small, thin wrists, and he was able to get out of the handcuffs and top the stairs and turn around. When Bell came up the stairs, he grabbed his pistol out. Bell ran down the stairs, Billy shot him, and Bell died outside the building. It was interesting because Chris asked me if Billy the Kid was left-handed, and I said, no, he isn't right-handed. So there's this photo, like the only photo I've ever taken of Billy the Kid, shows him with his gun on the left side, and him standing on the standing up against a rifle on the other side. And he probably seen the photo, it's kind of old grainy or what have you. Well, what happened with that photo? Actually,
tell you what, Steve, I have to interrupt briefly because it's digitizing again, so I want the cell phone network to catch up with you. But this is fascinating. You went to the old Lincoln, I'm going to recap real quick, the old Lincoln County Courthouse and with the right. folks from Dead Famous, and you had studied the history of Billy the Kid and when he shot the two deputies there. So, okay, hopefully we can finish now. You were talking about left, he was wearing... on the gun on his left side. Continue, please.
Okay. Is this, can you hear me now?
Oh, yes. I was just giving the cell network a little chance to catch up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you stop me because I can get long-winded. So you by all means, cut in and stop me and just get caught up. So what happened was they thought for years that Billy was left-handed. Well, the photographer had reversed the negative when he made the picture, because they looked at the Winchester rifle that Billy was holding, and the loading port, the little door on the side of the gun where they put the bullets in, showed him the left side of the rifle, and that never happened. Winchester made it on the right side. So they knew that by flipping the image around that Billy actually was right-handed. Well, Chris, during this place memory, he said that he had the feeling that Billy shot Deputy Bell with his left hand. And I said, well, that's very possible because he was facing Bell at the time, and Bell was right-handed, so his gun would be on Bell's right, which is Billy's left. So if Billy had just a split second to jerk the pistol out of his holster, it would have been in his left hand. So that was kind of an interesting little bit of information that he was able to pick up at that location. We went ahead and did the rest of the place memories to validate or not validate what he was feeling. And then we took a few-minute break, and they asked me if I brought any equipment. And, of course, I had, because I wasn't going to miss a chance of doing some type of investigation down there. So I went and got they said, I've always been curious about these types of shows, whether the investigations were scripted or if they did some type of direction. And I asked the producer, I said, well, what can I do? And he goes, anything you want. We'll just follow you around. So I thought that was kind of a nice touch because I think it adds some validity to the show.
Well, I have to
shows, you know,
I have to agree because I've seen some shows where it doesn't look exactly like I've ever experienced on a ghost hunt. It looks like too many things
right.
are so incredibly fortuitous for these folks. Not the one so much on Sci-Fi Channel, but the one that appears on what's the one from England? The Haunted, Most Haunted.
The Most Haunted.
Most Haunted.
Yeah, I remember seeing the bit where they were weren't swinging the pendulum. I mean, that was down under the floor, and yet the pendulum was swinging, and I thought that was, and then they would stop it by saying stop, and then they would start it by saying okay. Go or something, and that just looked quite incredibly fortuitous and outside the laws of physics, and I'm unsure where it fits in the realm even of the paranormal. So I've seen questionable things on TV, so I'm really glad to get this confirmation that for your segment, you know, and Dead Famous, it was like it's all you. We're just gonna follow you. So that's really good to hear. That's good news.
Well, absolutely. It kind of, you know, really kind of gives credibility to the show. Now, the psychic or sensitive, whatever he calls himself, Chris, and these people are really nice people. And I was always questioning during the show because he gets possessed or what have you, and I really have no basis to believe or disbelieve what he's experiencing. But actually meeting him and getting to know him, I can say that he's genuine in what he perceives he feels. I don't know if that's the proper way of saying it. In other words, I don't think he's just acting. I'll put it that way. But you still have to take a person's word for it. But yeah, they said that I can do whatever I wanted to, so I switched into high gear and grabbed my equipment and started with him. He kind of followed me around, and we kind of did. I wanted to find these hot spots that I thought that may occur where these action shootings took place, and see if there's any type of EMF or cold spots, warm spots. Actually, cold spots was kind of tough because it was like 40 some odd degrees in the building. It's very cold up there. So I was thinking, well, either I'm going to get a cold spot or a warm spot, but some type of correlation between the EMF spike and maybe a temperature reading. Some things did happen. I'm not really going to say because I want people to, you know, be surprised when they watch the show. But we did experience some stuff I thought was quite interesting. But the main thing was, this is the first time confirmed that anyone had ever done an investigation at this place. I talked to the museum manager, and she'd been on a job for 23 years at that location. And I asked her if she's known any investigators that have come in the past, and she says no, because their directors or administrators, whoever the head honcho is, has never allowed it until this one time. So I felt very fortunate to be the first to do this. And like I said, there was some interesting events that took place during the shoot. And we were there for a total of probably 3 hours, and I'm hoping that they don't edit it too much down to just a, you know, small portion of the show.
Well, you know they're going to have to. I mean, you can't fit 3 hours into a one-hour show. Yeah. So, but I'll tell you what, speaking of editing.
Go ahead.
Speaking of editing, what I'd like to do is I'd like to take a quick break. Let everybody settle in and think Dead Famous, Billy the Kid, Dead Famous, Billy the Kid. Let them think that over and over for a few minutes. We're going to take a break. And then we'll be back with more with Steve Compeer of MyParaSpace.com and Dead Famous, Billy the Kid. So we'll be right back.
Get enough ghostly talk? To go to ADDUnderground.com and click on Slack and Radio every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time to check out past shows of Ghostly Talk.
This is Pat Fitzhugh of the Bellwitch website, www.bellwitch.org, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
I'm just pouring a beverage and thinking, gee, I wish I had a campfire and some marshmallows. This is great. Steve Comp here of MyParaspace.com. And what was the other one that you do? Steve, did you mention?
Well, my main site is Ghost. I'm sorry, I'm stepping on you.
Nope, that was fine. Go ahead.
I said my main website is ghostinvestigations.com, and my Paraspace is just an offshoot of that.
Excellent. So Steve Compeer of ghostinvestigations.com is with us, telling us about when he went to film Dead Famous, Billy the Kid, in Lincoln, New Mexico, at the Lincoln, the old Lincoln County Courthouse. And how they left him alone, which is absolutely phenomenal. They followed him around, and there was cameras, but they let you do your work, which is some... That's a question that even I've had, you know, on watching other shows. But you said that there was even more to that, because when you got back to the bed and breakfast, you found out that the whole town seems to be haunted. What's up with... What happened when you got back from the old county courthouse?
Well, that's a very good point. We the only place to stay in town is a place called the Ellis County Store Inn, or Ellis Inn County Store, I forget how they name it. But it was built in 1850 or 1860, and Billy the Kid actually was under house arrest there for a couple weeks in the 1870s. But when I got back, Chris and the crew and everybody, we were all staying at the same location, and when we got done filming, he asked me, "Is your stay in the night?" I said, "Yeah." They put me up there with you guys, and they said, "Oh, great." He goes, "You know that place is haunted," and I said, "No, I didn't." He goes, "Well, what room are you staying in?" I said, "Well, oddly enough, they put me in the Billy the Kid room." He goes, "Oh, you should have seen what happened there last night." The night before I got there, they also filmed a big section of the show, which they'll also show with another ghost hunting group. And they had all kinds of things happening. And he goes, "That was in your room." I'm going, "Oh, great. I'm not going to be able to get any sleep tonight."
Wow.
So we get back to the bed and breakfast. He says, "Let me go show you what happened and where it happened." I said, "Great." So we go into my room, and Chris takes me into the bathroom. And then there's a little door off the side that exits the bathroom. I thought it went outside, but you go to the left, and it goes in this honeymoon suite. I thought that was kind of but this is an old hotel or bed and breakfast, and all the rooms are kind of a big, long L-shaped building, and they're all connected. And this is at the very end of this one L of the building. And he sat me down, and he said, "Okay, this is what happened, and this. I'm not going to give you any details because it was phenomenal what he said they experienced. And they filmed it for the show, so it will hopefully air in its entirety. So this is about a 15-minute process, and I was a little kind of unsettled by some of the events that took place, according to what he told me happened the night before. And so here I was going to be sleeping in the room next to it, and I was the only one in this whole wing of the building. The crew and the cast were staying in a house that was on the property, so it was not even attached to the building I was in. And the bed and breakfast is owned by an elderly couple, and they were on the other side. So basically, the closest person to me was probably 200 feet away, if not further. So here I am in this old bed and breakfast, 1860 room, no phone, no TV, no radio, no alarm clock, and just kind of left my own devices. So I try to get some sleep, and I remember waking up probably around 2 a.m. and kind of tossing and turning, and I hear someone whistling, and it was coming from to my right, which is where the bathroom is that leads into that other room. And I thought that was kind of odd. Well, who'd be whistling? There's no one here in this hotel but me. So I kind of just lay there longer and dismissed it. And then I started hearing some knocks and bangs, just noises I shouldn't be hearing coming from that side of the bed and breakfast. Because, like I said, I'm the only one in this whole section, and it's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And the really odd thing that happened is this bed and breakfast has no locks on the doors, not like a standard hotel or anything you see nowadays. It just has little latches on inside the room that you're in. Each door has this little, kind of like a little gate latch, just a little metal rod that slides across and you drop it down and it engages in a little loop that's on the other side. And it makes a distinctive sound when you slide it across. So, still not able to sleep and just trying to analyze or figure out where these sounds, and I actually heard some voices, some low murmuring kind of conversational voices, but not enough to make out any actual words. So, about 3:30, I'm looking at my watch, thinking, well, geez, how soon before the sun comes up? I distinctly heard, now before I went to bed, for some odd reason, I latched this little door that leads into this other room from my bathroom. What good that would do, I don't know. Just something I wanted to try. So I latched it. Well, 3:30 in the morning, I'm laying there. I hear that latch sound come from that area where that door is. Now, whether the latch opened or closed, I don't know, but that distinctive sound of that latch moving, I heard come from that room. So I thought that was quite interesting, and I didn't pursue it because, frankly, I just didn't want to go see if it was open or not, to be honest with you. And so the morning came, and it came soon enough. I was sitting at breakfast talking to the producer, and he said, well, how did you sleep? And I said, well, you know, I really didn't sleep because I was hearing all these noises. And then he goes, well, what kind? And I explained all it. He kind of had this grin on his face. And he goes, you know what? I wouldn't have slept in that room last night. And, well, I did. You know, thanks for telling me. It's a little late. Well, the director comes in, and we're having coffee, and he kind of inquired, well, hey, how did you sleep last night? Well, I really didn't. After the same routine, you know, I wouldn't have slept there last night. I wouldn't sleep in that room. So here's two people in a row saying the same thing. Well, then Chris comes down from, you know, the Dead of Amos, and he's sitting across the table from me, and we're having breakfast, and he asked, well, how'd you sleep last night? And I know this is all going, and I told him that I heard all these noises, and this time the owner of the bed and breakfast came into the room to refill our coffees, and he goes, did your bed move? And I said, no, was it supposed to? He goes, well, we used to have a single bed there. The bed actually used to get flipped around, and people used to get tossed out of bed. Maybe it's that the king bed's in there is too heavy for the ghost to move. And
oh, my God.
Go stay there now.
I'm so going there. That's amazing.
We have to go.
Uh-oh.
This is all after the fact, and it's like, you know, I wish I would have known. Actually, I'm glad I didn't know beforehand, because I think that validates what I experienced. More so because I'm not biased in any way. I didn't know about these events that have a history of happening in this room. So that was quite interesting. The latching was a little unsettling. I actually mentioned that to the owner. He says, oh, yeah, that's all the ghost can do is that she can only open, that's a female ghost, she can only move the latch. She can't open the door. And whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But the latch is on the inside, on my side. So if she can move the latch, she's already in the room.
Right.
So I don't know.
So even when you're off duty, Steve, you find these haunted places. Amazing. And probably saying, I'm off duty. I did my thing this morning. Wasn't enough. They just...
All I want to do is go to sleep. I'm tired, but no, that didn't work out too well.
Wow.
I want to stay there now.
Yeah, I think you have Bonnie convinced. She's on one of them travel websites right now trying to book a flight out to New Mexico. Just amazing.
It's a great place. It's a great place.
Would you go back?
Actually, Brandon and I were talking because I gave him the whole rundown of everything that happened, including stuff I'm reluctant to say on air because I want people to be surprised on the show. He goes, man, we have to go down there. He goes, well, if you go down there with me, will you stay in that room with me? And I said, well, if I'm not by myself, I think I will. You know, granted, you know, here I am, Mr. Big Ghost Hunter, you know, I didn't want to go in that room by myself, but hey, I'll admit it was kind of creepy. But I think we may end up going down there sometime in the near future. That'd be kind of fun.
There's no phone, no TV. So you're pretty much cut off from the rest of the world. You'd have to run to another building if something was going on and happening and you had to get someone, right?
It's kind of like heaven, though.
Bonnie says it's Ghost Hunters Heaven.
That's my heaven.
Well, actually, it's kind of funny. I was talking to Gail Porter, who's one of the co-stars of the show, and she's from England, and I was saying that, this place could be an alarm clock. I thought, is there a Starbucks hanging for the coffee? She goes, oh, no, I like having this solitude. And you're up in the mountains, and it's actually very quiet. There's no traffic. It actually snowed that night. It was very cold. So a lot of people were just off the roads just as a rule. So it was, I'm going to use the pun, it was dead quiet. And that's a little nerving in itself.
That's the kind of place where some of our favorite ghost hunting places are rather desolate. And one of the things that I often say is, well, if we don't see a ghost or get a ghost on film, we might get abducted by aliens because some of the places that we investigate are quite remote. And that sounds quite remote.
That sounds like the next trip we're planning.
About 200 miles southeast of Albuquerque, and it's the middle of nowhere. It's about 50 miles, actually, northwest of Roswell.
Ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, you're punching all our
Doug,
buttons
when do you want to go?
We're going soon now. Wow, a haunted bed and breakfast, and it's not far from Roswell. It sounds like I need to remote there. That's absolutely amazing. I love it. What other kinds of things are on your plate for the future? Because we've only got 10 minutes, so we want to talk about... wrap everything up and talk about the future for Steve Compeer.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do. Hopefully there'll be some more TV stuff here. Like I said, the show's going to probably air. It's going to be the second to last show of a 10-episode season, and they're only in episode 3. So by the time they get around airing, it may be April or May. But I'm actually looking to grow the organization, Ghost Investigations, to include more states. Right now we're in 5 states, and I want to get into states that need coverage, and that's going to be part of the main focus, is just to find qualified investigators who want to be part of the team and get them set up. And because we're also tapped family members, so we get a lot of inquiries from their website for people wanting investigations. So if I've got more people in different states, and that increases our ability to investigate the paranormal. So that's probably the main focus in the next few months here, is to really grow the organization. And we've got our California team down in San Diego is doing some pretty interesting stuff. They've gotten some really neat results. So there's a lot of things happening. My New England team's got an investigation at a haunted bed and breakfast here next month. Which is going to be pretty interesting. But, yeah, there's a lot of things on the horizon, and the main focus is going to be let my paraspace just do its thing and become the premier place for paranormal lovers to meet, coupled with the association with Ghost Investigations. In addition, stay in touch with you guys through Brandon. I think it's, like I said, all good, and it's going to work out well for all of us because we're able to just, get together and do this kind of thing on the radio just as a result of my paraspace, because I don't think it would have happened as a result of it. And there's also the other, radio shows, too. Those guys were, really doing well as a result of it, too. So it's kind of like just a real nice, what am I trying to say? It's all working out to a positive result for all of us that are in this field. Because there's always this kind of competition between groups, which I think is kind of silly, where I don't know if it's jealousy or what, but there's kind of, I don't know if it's bickering or what. You see it occasionally, and I really don't like that aspect of it. I wish we'd all just kind of realize we're on the same side and we're all here to do the same thing, and we're not in competition. We should share our information versus, try to keep it to ourselves, if you know what I mean.
We definitely know what you mean. I've been in several ghost hunting organizations myself before, I guess, what am I now, freelancing?
Yeah, it's just
ghostly talk. Yeah, we're just ghostly talk now, I suppose. But we noticed a bit of that. There were a couple of efforts here in Michigan, because we're in Michigan, and there were a couple of efforts to get different groups together, and those are progressing, but slowly. So myparaspace.com, I hope that does bring folks together. Ghost, you said ghostinvestigations.com? Is that it?
That's correct.
Okay, ghostinvestigations.com. And you're a TAPS family member, right? You just said that?
Absolutely, yeah. They're not accepting any more organizations right now. They put a hold on it. But, yeah, we've been a TAPS member for quite a while. In addition, I've actually been with the American Ghost Society. I mentioned Troy Taylor. do you know Troy? Or you don't know Troy?
Oh, we know Troy. We've had him on the show. Yeah, we've had him on the show.
We've been friends for almost 10 years now. I'm his rep for New Mexico and Southern California. So we've got the networking there. We just need to hopefully expand a little further and put a nice professional and positive light and spin on what we do, because I think there's a lot of negativity through a lot of the amateurs going out there and breaking into cemeteries at night, and that doesn't do anybody any good. So hopefully this will all, you know, kind of get us together and on the same page and moving forward instead of not going anywhere.
Well, on that, I happened to be surfing the internet the other day. I don't remember if it was one day or 2 days or 3 days ago, but I was surfing the internet, and I landed, of course, at one of my favorite websites, ghosttoghost.org. Which, of course, is Richard's website. He just totally redid it, and he's been on Ghostly Talk before. And he has up on the internet links to free forms, free ghost hunting forms. He created up these forms, and one of them is a permission request. And I would love to see more folks, who are doing serious investigations, get permission, and because I have to admit, early on in my ghost hunting career, I wasn't the best ghost hunter, and some of the places we went, we didn't have actual permission. But that sort of changed,
right.
and it changed for the better, because as I learned that folks would give you permission usually if you ask. And I also learned that that's the only way to show respect. You're not showing any respect if you're just running around willy-nilly, doing your own thing without permission. So ghosttoghost.org, you can get permission forms and release forms and all kinds of different interesting things there. So there are movements out there to start getting folks to display that amount of respect for the places,
right,
and the people that are involved with those places.
Yeah, one of our requirements is we don't have permission slips or permission slips like a field trip. Permission forms and the release forms that the owners or the people that own the property have to sign before we even go in there. Because, for one, yeah, the respect is a very important aspect of it. And also, you know, we don't want to open up anyone's liability, you know, either them or us. So our people have to get signed forms before they can go in there. And like you said, that they're more than happy to do this because they want the help. They want to find out if they're crazy or if something's actually going on. And these are very simple forms. It just covers everybody. And it's the best way to go. You're better safe than sorry.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Well, you said this because Bonnie was asking on the break, and I just want to reiterate, you had said April or May is when Dead Famous Billy the Kid's going to be approximately aired.
Well, I'm projecting out. They actually show the episodes out of order, so it could be any time. I'm thinking if they go in order, they're on episode 3 Tuesday night, which is Howard Hughes. They show every Tuesday night on the Biography Channel, and then they show a repeat, and then a new show, repeat, new show. So if there's 10 shows, you're looking at, you know, a good 20 weeks before they'll get out there to my episode, which is the second to the last, which is episode 9. But they may, you know, show them out of order. Who knows? I haven't gotten an air date. I'll post it definitely on my website when it. I'll fire off an email to you guys too. But if you guys don't get a Biography Channel, it's kind of a moot point.
Oh, we get Biography Channel. It's among my favorite channels.
Oh, okay,
I just must be busy.
I encourage
on
you to
Tuesday.
Check out Dead Famous on Tuesday night, and it's a great show.
Excellent. Well, I'll tell you what, Steve Compeer of GhostInvestigators.com and of course MyParaSpace.com, the offspring.
You got it.
It's been an absolute pleasure and honor talking with you about your websites and about your investigations and about Dead Famous Billy the Kid coming up on Biography. Thank you so much for coming on Ghostly Talk, and as you do more and more projects, we want to hear from you more and more. Okay.
Well, absolutely. You guys won't get rid of me that easy, so I'm sorry Scott was sick today, but I'd love to be able to, you know, talk to him more, but we can definitely do this again in the future.
I hope so, because I'd love to hear him razz ya a bit, because he razzes everybody. Well, he usually razzes only me and Will and Bonnie, but, you know, you never know.
Me quite a lot.
And Bonnie quite a lot. Steve, thank you so much for coming on Ghostly Talk.
It's been my pleasure. You guys have been great.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And Doug, you'll be sure to get on my Paraspace. And,
I'm going to create
your profile.
Yes, I'm going to create
I'll
a profile
do that too.
On my Paraspace.
I'll have to too.
So we're all going to get profiles on
myparaspace.com.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take bets on who does it last?
I go for Doug.
Well, that would be that's the obvious choice.
So much for the office pool.
He'll bet himself too.
I win.
Because, yeah, I guess we'd all go for that. I'll tell you what, let's do a break, and we'll get ready for... I have to put on my tinfoil hat, and I forgot to take my...
I've got my tinfoil bra on.
Oh,
so
good. We're safe there.
We'll underwear.
So what we'll do is we'll get ready for... Of course, we're bringing on Marcus Leader and Mark Macy, Marcus Leader of Leader Research, and Mark Macy of World ITC. They're coming up next on Ghostly Talk right after this.